It is time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Not that it's all downhill from here, just kind of getting you started with, we call it a relational devotion, if you will. Some consecrated conversation. Jason Cans from jasoncans.com on the other end of the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
The calm after the storm. I guess those 2 to 4 inches. A lot of school closings yesterday. To be honest, I haven't even checked the closing list today, so I can do that. But how did it fare for you yesterday?
You know, so what ended up happening is normally on Tuesdays I go to Rice Lake.
Yeah.
And I have a clinic up there. And we ended up moving patients because we weren't sure what was going to happen. And so I switched what I could yesterday to telehealth so I could do everything online. And so the day ended up completely different than I was expecting. And then the storm was a little bit underwhelming.
Uh-huh.
It was,
yeah.
You know, so I probably would not have needed to do that. And better safe than sorry, but it was, a little underwhelming.
I think that was kind of the perspective. I mean, it started a little bit later in the morning. And then, you know, when it snowed, it did snow for a while. But then when it was all said and done, not all that bad. You know, in the overall context of the show, not just our 5 minutes, but our 3.5 hours, one of the things that I would like to improve on is highlighting things that happened on this day in history. And this one kind of strikes me. It was a year ago today that Tiger Woods crashed his car driving south of Los Angeles, injuring both of his legs. So that was a year ago. That's interesting. It feels like it was longer, but he's still working on his comeback. It's not back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would have thought that was much longer ago than that. You know, that's been an odd experience, I think, in COVID-19 world, is that time seems to have warped in terms of how long things seem to take and how long ago things were and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if others have had that experience. I'd be curious, but I know for me, that's been definitely true.
I think you're right. Yeah, it feels more like that would be 16 months ago rather than a year. It is Banana Bread Day today, so. But you don't eat bread anymore.
No, although I have to tell you, the last couple of weeks have been really terrible in terms of that. I've been eating a lot of sugar in the last couple of weeks.
And, really? Like what?
Yeah, Tessa had actually asked me. Just donuts and that sort of thing, and totally stress related eating.
Yeah,
and. Tessa asked me, she said, Dad, are you getting back on the keto bandwagon? And I said, I sure would hope so. I said, I just haven't been able to get there yet. And so, yes, that's, I love banana bread.
Confession is good for the soul. In fact, when you did do keto, it was helpful for you, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, and I think for me, it gives a level of, I know that there are other people who experience this because I've talked to them, is sugar can sometimes feel absolutely out of control. And that's generally my experience. It's better if I stay away from it altogether.
Let's do a... there we go. Let's do one verse in Colossians today. Yeah. Colossians 2:11. Yeah. You got the scripture.
Yep. Sure. So it reads, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature.
Hmm. Let's turn to a devotional commentary from a guy named Jason Cans, Letters to the Beloved on Colossians 2:11. He says, he marked you for real life, no longer ruled by your flesh. I know, beloved, how often you feel powerless over your sin. Listen, my spirit lives within you. He's made it possible to turn away from fleshly desires.
Wow, that's relevant.
Yeah, right. It seemed to speak to what we were just talking about.
That author really seemed to pinpoint what was going on for me right now. So,
you know,
no longer ruled by your flesh.
That seems like, I mean, it's offered up in kind of a relational context, the way that you wrote that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which,
you know, and... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the concept between the whole book, right? It's like, if God was...
Right.
Right alongside said, my son, Jason, this is what I want you to understand from this verse.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's really the goal, is how do we You know, again, not as a book of rules, but how do we understand if God is, you know, explaining, hey, here's what's really best for you. And not because I'm angry at you, but, you know, I really know the best way to live. Let me show you and tell you about it. And, you know, that's really what I was trying to capture, I think, in this book.
Very good. We will maybe see you later this morning. If not, talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Our buddy Jason Cans from jasoncans.com. Letters to the Beloved, devotional commentary on the whole New Testament.
Hi, this is Jackie from Eau Claire. I seriously have cabin fever.
Warning, cabin fever detected.
Speaking of children, I've heard they also can suffer from cabin fever.
Hi, my name is Kelly Wentland. I live in Bloomington. Here's my cabin fever thing.
Warning, cabin fever detected.
And is it possible that cabin fever might run in this family, that maybe siblings get it from one another?
Hi, my name is Elise. I'm from Bloomington, Wisconsin. Here's my cabin fever scream.
Warning, cabin fever detected.
Kylie and Elise, wonderful job. We'll let you split a prize from Avenue Orchard because it is the WWIB Cabin Fever Contest.
Well, people calling this palindrome week yesterday certainly was 2-22-22, and a North Carolina baby was born at, you guessed it, 2:22 a.m. How about that?
How cool is that? 2:22:22, a Tuesday, and then being born at 2:22.
Yeah, Aberly and Hank Spear welcomed their daughter Judah Grace at 2:22 in the morning in the delivery room at the hospital in North Carolina. So there you go. They will certainly remember that.
Yeah, very cool. Also, it is a special and tasty day, taking something that looks nasty and making it into something sweet.
My stomach growling even as we say it is banana bread day.
Yes.
That's fun to make and fun to eat.
I don't know that I've ever made banana bread.
Really? Okay.
My mom has so many times. My wife has. I don't know if I've made it
before. I've made it a lot of times before. And yeah, you were asking off the air, do you like it better with chocolate chips? Absolutely.
I mean, most things are better with chocolate chips. It's kind of a life principle of mine.
A tip of my hat to Kathy Mentick in Eau Claire, though. I have had her banana bread made with cherries as well, which is really a nice addition.
That is fascinating to me. So like maraschino cherries there and with chocolate chips or without? You just need the cherries for some sweetness?
The cherries captures your attention. You don't even notice if the chips are in there. I think probably it has some chocolate chips.
And then there's some people who put maybe walnuts or things like that in banana bread as well, too. And again, I just say yes to all of it.
I like the nuts. The thing is if you've got other family members who are like, oh, I don't like the nuts, you know, so.
Yeah, but again, banana bread or banana muffins, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And a great way of taking something. I mean, look how gross bananas look when they start turning spotted brown or even black. Or if you've done what I've done and forgotten them in the vehicle after purchasing them at the grocery store. And then they turn all black and yucky because you froze them. But think about what a wonderful thing can be made out of these yucky, gross bananas.
I think in the age of keto, one of the things that stood out, I mean, bread kind of gets poo-pooed, you know? But, like, that's what's hard about, one of the many things hard about being on keto, and it sounds like it's been very effective for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
But, like, if you love bread, and I do, it's like, wow, so bread's not part of it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah. No, that's difficult.
It is.
Banana bread,
Love that goes great with a little coffee.
Well, if you haven't joined the WIB Wake Up Show group on Facebook, we'd love you to do that. Again, at the WWIB Wake Up Show, and can communicate with you on social media a little bit better that way. And so we shared this yesterday. My brother Josh does the morning show for Spirit 92.9, a fellow Christian radio station in St. Cloud, Minnesota. He loves parodies. He's got a lot more musical talent than I do. And so we shared his latest parody and just thought, you know what, for all of you who might be feeling a little cabin fever this morning, maybe you would enjoy it as well. This is called Winter for the Longest Time.
Bum, bum, bum.
So
cold and
for the longest time.
So cold and
for the longest time.
It's been
winter for
fills my lungs and air hurts my face. I spend mornings scraping off my car. It's terrible so far, yet I still somehow stay here. Who knows how much snow will fill my lawn? I sure won't be sorry when it's gone. Cold front advances. I forgot how nice green grass is. Cause it's been winter for the longest time. We all know what April showers bring. Flowers and sunshine, birds that soar and sing.
Be wearing any more clothes?
Let's go bring back summer!
103.7
WWID. Well, if you've lost your keys, you might think it's best to search in the most obvious open areas before moving on to more cluttered areas. But a study, yes, a study on lost keys finds that our peripheral vision is better than we think, and being so thorough while searching might actually be a waste of time.
Now, I love that they did this, but I'm just wondering what the pitch is like when you're trying to get funding for these studies.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what? We're going to need a few million to try to figure out why people lose their keys and where the most popular spots are.
And is it privately funded or paid for by taxpayers?
Indeed.
The scavenger hunt style study, University of Aberdeen, found that people tend to spend a lot of time searching for objects in easy areas, even though it provides them with no new information. Instead, researchers say you should start searching for your keys or whatever that you've lost in areas where they'd be hard to spot.
Sometimes when I lose something, I look like in the freezer. It's,
really?
You know what, maybe I set something down okay. while I was digging for yeah. ice cream. Who knows?
That's what happens,
Stranger
right?
things have
I mean,
happened.
Is it interesting? So don't check the table, counter, bed, and floor over and over. Focus on areas that have the most clutter and scan through locations where your peripheral vision wouldn't be able to pick up the shape of the item so easily. Piles of clothes, messy drawers, and crowded coffee tables are a better use of your time. If
All
your
right.
keys were so somewhere obvious, you would have already found them.
All right, so it took that study, but the University of Aberdeen has helped us find a better methodology
yes.
for finding our keys.
Having a good time on the WIB Wake Up Show, enjoying some hazelnut java this morning.
Nice.
And talking, you know, you're interviewing people for possibly one or two sales positions here at WWIB, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find the description under employment at WWIB.com and can shoot me your resume to sales at WIB.com if you're interested in maybe being part of the WIB family here.
Sometimes people use the term account manager. I wear that title at One Source Imaging downtown Eau Claire. So next up, what not to do or say at a job interview. Turns out some personnel executives were asked for stories of unusual behavior that they'd seen from job applicants.
And oh, do they have some tales to tell.
Yeah. Starting off, one said he was, candidate said he was so well qualified that if he didn't get the job, it would prove that the company's management was incompetent.
That's some confidence. Real personnel stories. One candidate stretched out on the floor to fill out the job application. Mind if I just chill here for a bit?
Oh, I have to be thinking of you in the interview, how you would handle this. One applicant brought her large dog to the interview.
Oh, all right. St. Bernard.
Yeah.
Another candidate chewed bubble gum and constantly blew bubbles again during the interview. These, word to the wise, are things not to do.
Now
things
again,
not to do when you're looking for employment.
Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, he's a big gum chewer on the sidelines. Sometimes Matt LaFleur does. But, you know, blowing bubbles, I guess that's another dimension, right?
Yeah, probably avoid it.
Yeah. One job applicant, balding, abruptly excused himself, returned to the office a few minutes later wearing a hairpiece.
Forgot something in my car. what not to do or say at a job interview here on the Wib Wake Up Show. Another man wore a jogging suit to interview for a position as a financial vice president. Nothing wrong with your jogging suit. But again, if you're in that bank credit union type of environment, maybe wear a tie.
Right.
Maybe.
It wasn't an application for the Eau Claire Fitness Center. One applicant interrupted to phone his therapist for advice on answering specific interview questions.
And then called his mom after that. Finally, what not to do or say at a job interview here with Halvo and Caleb on the Wib Wake Up Show. Another personnel manager says, when I asked the candidate about his hobbies, he stood up and started tap dancing around my office.
There you go.
That's a story to tell.
Wow. Did any of them get the job?
That's what I'm wondering. Tap dancer, maybe. Some talent. Real hit at parties.
All right, Caleb's in the hot seat, but please play along at home because I've got 9 book titles or potential book titles in front of me.
And this is going to be so hard.
This segment is called That's Not a Kid's Book, and I'll give you the book title. And so we'll be waiting to see if Caleb thinks it's fake, he's supposed to yell out, "That's not a kid's book."
Otherwise, we're just... Yep. The assumption is that it is a kid's book. All right, let's dive in.
All right, here we go. The first of 9 is Frankenstein Makes a Sandwich.
I think that is a kid's book.
And you are correct.
Good job.
Yes.
He's 1-for-1.
All right.
The next one, 2, is Tommy Tickles a Turtle.
That also sounds like a kid's book. I love the alliteration, even if it's not. I will say, yes, it is a kid's book.
And it is not.
Oh.
You must unlearn. Okay. What you have learned.
All right.
You fell for the alliteration.
Rats.
All right. 3, Interrupting Chicken.
Not a kid's book. That's not a kid's book.
It is.
What? Oh, wait. Hold on. I did the wrong one there.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Okay.
1-for-3. Now, you're going to get back in the right track with this one. 4 is My Dog Is As Dirty As Smelly Socks. Is that a kid's book or not?
I think that is a kid's book.
And you are correct, sir.
Yes.
Good job.
This is just, it's a coin flip every single one of these.
That one, though, it was so odd. You're like, it has to be.
It must be, right?
All right. 5, you're 2-for-4.
Okay.
Who Moved My Cheeseburger?
Is a kid's book.
It sounds odd, but it's actually not a kid's book.
It's not. Oh, I thought it was like, Who Moved My Cheese? And then like the kids version.
Right. Yeah.
Rats.
So 2 out of 5.
Rats.
Okay. I get back on the right track with this one. Dinosaur Versus Bedtime.
Is a kid's book. Yes.
It is, and you are correct.
All right. Good job. Fantastic.
Again, it's kind of odd, but okay.
Sure.
Kids like dinosaurs, so there you go. 3 out of 6. The Bear Ate Your Sandwich.
That's not a kid's book.
It sure is.
It is a kid's book? Oh, man.
Two to go. And we'll take you out of your misery.
All right.
We're Moving to a Chocolate-Covered House. Is that or not a kid's book?
I think that's odd enough to be a kid's book. I will say yes, it is.
And unfortunately, it's not.
Rats.
It reminds me of a book I read to my kids, Chocolate Fever. And it was like whatever he ate, I think he got chocolate. So,
man.
All right, the very last one is pretty odd. It is Whales on Stilts.
Yes. I think it is a kid's book.
Yes, and you're right.
Good job.
There we go.
It's hard to tell.
Oh, man. What wins the Newbery Medal these days?
Who knows?
But you know what? I'm big on children's literature. I would highly recommend The Book With No Pictures by B.J. Novak. Mm. He actually was one of the writers of The Office, and he wrote a children's book, and I think you will very much enjoy it. My kids love it. We've read it many, many times. So.